This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nicholas Snow Live for Friday, April 17th, 2015. It is 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And the headline for today's broadcast, Brokenhearted Baha'is, LGBTs Rejected by Their Church. My guest, who's coming up in a few minutes, Sean Rachel, has let me know that really the word faith would be better in that headline than church. And, you know, now that I think about it, I've always heard the Baha'is refer to the Baha'i faith, and I've never heard them refer to the Baha'i Church. And the term brokenhearted, I'm editorializing, but I can imagine that it must be heartbreaking to be sort of rejected and cast off by the people you hold most dear, the people that you've worshipped with all of your life. So Sean Rachel, an openly gay third-generation American Baha'i, who for the past 15 years has been an advocate for LGBT inclusiveness in the Baha'i faith, joins me today, says the official Baha'i website, "The teachings of the Baha'i faith inspire individuals and communities as they work to improve their own lives and contribute to the advancement of civilization. Yet in a widely circulated letter from the faith's Department of the Secretariat, the faith reinforces, quote, marriage is a union between a man and a woman, and sexual relationships are only permissible between husband and wife, unquote. Because of his legal same-sex marriage since 2008 to Rich Tarpaning, Sean faces the loss of his administrative rights and or expulsion from the Baha'i faith. Sean founded the only LGBT Baha'i Twitter account, Gay Baha'is United, which currently has 1,500 followers, as well as he's a co-administrator of the Facebook group LGBTQ Baha'is and Allies. Recently, Sean has taken over the helm of the longest-standing LGBT Baha'i online site, Gay Lesbian Baha'i Story Project. Those links are available from the descriptive text associated with this episode. This is live at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on April 17, 2015, but available in perpetuity. If you're listening live, you can call in, and I'll tell you how in just a moment. So stay tuned for my special guest and a very important conversation that he's been preparing with for a long time. I have to give him kudos because this is a significant live interview, and he's going to be coming up right after this. I want to give a big shout out of thanks to all my advertisers. You'll hear the commercials during the show. If this episode had a presenting sponsor, you would be hearing their commercial right now at the beginning of the show. For information on how to secure this sponsorship, or for the contact information for all my advertisers, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the advertisers link in the main submenu.
It's time for Nicholas Snow Live, the podcast that's all about connecting the circuitry of humanity. Nicholas broadcasts live almost every day, and he wants you to be a part of the conversation. If you are listening live, the phone lines are open now. Call 347-215-8866. That's 347-215-8866. We're screening calls right now, so get dialing. Call 347-215-8866. While he's screening callers for today's broadcast, here's some important information for you. Nicholas uses both Twitter and Facebook to alert listeners just as he's going on the air. At any time 24/7, you may direct tweet at @TheNicholasSnow or post your questions, comments, breaking news, and gossip on the Nicholas Snow Live Facebook page. Nicholas may very well discuss your tweet or comment on the air. When communicating with or about the show using any form of social media, be sure to use the hashtag NicholasSnowLive. You may also Skype into live broadcast from anywhere in the world. For Skype instructions and to review all the Connect with Show options I've just mentioned, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click Connect with the Show in the main submenu. Nicholas also broadcasts regular video chats and interviews on his YouTube channel using Google Hangout. So subscribe at youtube.com/snowbiznow. That's youtube.com/snowbiznow. For all of his social media links, visit nicholassnowlive.com and click on Social Networks in the main submenu. And now, on with the snow, show, celebrating his fourth decade as a multimedia entertainment activist. Producer and host Nicholas Snow is all about honoring and expressing his life force in a way that makes a difference, while inspiring you to do the same. Reaching millions of people worldwide, Nicholas is definitely a leading primo promo homo on the go-go. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just drifted into your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. It occurs to me that when you hear I reach millions of people worldwide, you kind of wonder if am I just blowing smoke up your you-know-where. This podcast in less than 3 years has had 1.7 million listens, but I also have a YouTube channel and a worldwide music video campaign, and I write for lots of media. So that millions of people worldwide statement is about my collective media presence, and I'm not exaggerating it. And I thank you for being among the people participating. I do try to have really important topics, sometimes light and fluffy, sometimes more serious, and my goal is to connect the circuitry of humanity, because I believe when we express our truth, that's what happens. So today, I'm speaking with Sean Rachel. We've been speaking about him participating in this live interview for quite a while, and I'm glad we hooked it up today. Sean is an openly gay third-generation American Baha'i who for the past 15 years has been an advocate for LGBT inclusiveness in the Baha'i faith. And I've given you more information than that at the top of the show, but I'm just going to go ahead and welcome Sean to the show. Sean, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here, Nicholas. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. So, you know, one of the things I editorialized in my headline is I described Baha'is that are being rejected by their faith as brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted?
Yeah, I would say that was quite accurate and spot on.
So, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a religious scholar. I do consider myself a spiritual person. But one of the things I've always perceived about the Baha'i faith is that they're progressive, liberal, inclusive, and so much more than what we would perceive right-wing Christianity to be in terms of their bigoted views of other people. So I frankly was surprised to learn that they basically have the same sort of definition of marriage and similar attitudes as what are perceived as more intolerant right-wing interpretations of who God is or isn't.
Yes, I would say that's right. The perception of the Baha'i faith outwardly would be that we are very all-inclusive, that we are progressive, we're at the forefront of many social issues, such as women's equality, equality of science and religion, that all different religions have a divine source, that they're all equal before the Creator's eyes, and the eradication, the elimination of prejudices of all kinds would lead a person to believe that would include your LGBT and Q, your brothers and sisters out there. And I believe that most Baha'is definitely do believe that they are inclusive of LGBT and Q members out there, but the reality is partially different because of our religious laws on marriage, our understanding of human sexuality, which is very much rooted in Shia Islam, which the Baha'i faith grew out of. So as inclusive as we are, we do have our roots in Shia Islam, and that would, you know, that would be a better understanding of where we are coming from on this issue. And we can go into that further in more detail, hopefully.
Well, yeah, we have plenty of time. But what I want to talk about, I know that there's been a long-term effort among LGBT members and allies within the Baha'i mm-hmm. faith to help mm-hmm. the faith evolve. And mm-hmm. if I understand correctly, this has sort of come to a head recently when there's been a very official, powerful, sad letter that has been widely circulated, and it's signed by the Department of the Secretariat of the Baha'i Faith. So mm-hmm. Would you like to speak about what it was that evoked this letter and what your perception
sure.
of the reaction has been?
Well, this letter dated, I'm looking at it right now, May 9th, 2014, was a response possibly to an LGBT Baha'i, or it could have been a member of, their family member. It was many questions posed to the Universal House of Justice, which is our international governing body for the Baha'i world based in Haifa, Israel. And the response is probably the lengthiest response I've ever seen on this issue about the overall that we're discussing. It pretty much ties everything up in a neat bow that to be a gay person, to act and be in a relationship, is against the Baha'i laws and Baha'i teachings. And that there's a, I'm paraphrasing here, mind you, a gross misunderstanding of what it is to be homosexual, that it is a Western invention that is being spread around the world and self-indulgent and a part of the material side of mankind. And it doesn't give any credence to love and companionship that a same-sex relationship has. It's very typical of many conservative religious groups out there that denies that relationship is the same as, could be the same as a heterosexual relationship, and just pretty much sums up homosexuals as a sex act, that we are purely motivated by our lower primal side or animal side. And as a gay person, I find that very offensive, that I am just summed up as a sex act. I find it quite disturbing. It was very, very, very sad reading this. So I don't know the person that this was said to, but it was circulated amongst, I would say, all the gay Baha'i underground, as I like to call it, online, and it is official, and it was CC'd, which to the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the United States, the national governing body of the American Baha'i community, as well as other high-ranking Baha'i officials around the world. So to me, this is a very much a policy letter.
Why don't you read the second? It's the third paragraph from the end of the letter. That says you are, of course, well aware, that paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you read that out loud and comment on it?
Okay. You are, of course, well aware of the explicit Baha'i standard. Marriage is a union between a man and a woman, and sexual relations are only permissible between husband and wife. These points are laid down in the writings of Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Baha, and Shoghi Effendi, and are not subject to change by the Universal House of Justice. Baha'u'llah also prohibits certain sexual acts, including homosexual relations. If such statements are considered by some to be unclear, the unambiguous interpretations provided by Shoghi Effendi constitute a binding exposition of his intent. The Guardian's interpretations, made in his role as the authoritative expounder, clarify the true meaning of the text and are not derived from the scientific knowledge of the time.
So that's the paragraph. Why don't you comment on what you've just read?
It's very detailed as far as how the Baha'i theology works. But Baha'u'llah is the prophet founder of the Baha'i faith, the most holy book, the Kitab-i Aqdas, is basically, I would say, a book of laws. After he passed on, the Baha'i faith was administered by his son, Abdu'l-Bahá. And then after Abdu'l-Bahá passed, his grandson became the guardian of the Baha'i faith, and that would be Shoghi Effendi. Shoghi Effendi was the sole interpreter and the last interpreter of his great-grandfather, Baha'u'llah's writings, his book of laws. Shoghi Effendi has stated officially he is infallible in areas of science. Therefore, Baha'is, LGBT Baha'is, progressive Baha'is, and our allies feel that human sexuality is a part of biology, therefore a part of science. And Shoghi Effendi, who passed in the 1950s, could only go on by the science of his time. And in the 1950s, homosexuality was looked as an aberration. People went through electric shock therapy. It was not what we consider normal today as far as the American Psychological Association or the World Health Organization or the United Nations and many other various bodies. So he did the best he could as the interpreter of his great-grandfather's writings, his book of laws. So I do not fault him at all for his understanding of what it was to be homosexuality. In the book of laws, the Kitab-i Aqdas, Baha'u'llah only mentions a law against pederasty, which was common in 19th century Iran and the Middle East, where adult men would have sex with beardless youth or children, and that was quite the norm. And as a gay Baha'i, as a gay man, I condone any form of child molestation and do not correlate homosexuality with those who are child molestators. As we know, 90% of people who molest children are heterosexual men. And so therefore, unfortunately, in the 1950s, child molestators and homosexualities were unfortunately lumped together.
Well, they were still doing that. A lot of people still do that today.
And they still do that today. But and that would be your more right-wing conservative religious groups, of course. But the modern world, as we progress, know that those two have nothing in common, thankfully. And that is where the Baha'i faith stands. It's frozen in time when it comes to the interpretation of the law in the Kitab-i Aqdas. And I hold firmly that that law really meant child molestation. And if you have a background in 19th century Iran and the Middle East, pederasty was very common. And what we have today in the modern world as homosexual relations was unknown to them. It was unknown to Baha'u'llah. It was unknown to his son Abdu'l-Bahá. And the Baha'i Faith believes in the equality of science and religion, and true science is always upheld in the Baha'i Faith. Therefore, you would hope that the current scientific understandings on this issue would be given credence, but unfortunately, it's not. And if you, and as in this letter states, it's been influenced by a warped, I'm paraphrasing, of course, a warped understanding of human sexuality that is a part of the deterioration of this world. It's not something that is open for discussion. It seems like it's a very sealed shut letter and tying up everything in a neat bow.
Well, I like to refer to that as black and I like to refer to that as black and white thinking.
Very much black and white thinking, yes.
You know, here's, you know, I was raised in the Episcopal Church. I had my own experiences with born-again Christianity. I was proudly part of the New Age, New Thought movement. I would still say that I am. And I have over 14 years of recovery in a 12-step program where everyone that comes to each meeting has their own version of a higher power. And I articulate my spiritual philosophy is this. I respect any part of any teaching that celebrates the universal equality of humanity, and I reject any part of any teaching that in order to be right has to make other people wrong. And I believe that one of the things that's proven time and time again is that while the world's religions might be rooted in a true, authentic spirituality with a connection with a real higher power, that the religions themselves are man-made and they're historically driven and they're flawed and they're consistently used by people to oppress, demean, and control others. And a broader point in the conversation is, what is the difference between spirituality and religion, and who owns spirituality, and when do we as individuals realize that that we need to reject huge parts of the faith that has rejected us because of how flawed it is?
Yeah, as I've matured and I have come into my 30s, I have become less religious and more spiritual. I think that comes with maturity. You know, that's the path I'm on. I can't speak I can't speak for all LGBT Baha'is. I can't speak for all Baha'is.
You can. Why not? I'm kidding. I agree. I understand.
I agree. I look in for the good that I feel just speaks to my soul in my religion, and the things that don't add up, that just don't feel right to my soul, I just sort of set off to the side for many years and hope one day a change will occur. One day somehow they will just say, you know, hopefully, you know, that, okay, here's the science, you know. Shoghi Effendi was not, you know, he was infallible in areas of science, and therefore, you know, he did the best he could, and the current science does this, and we are going to go with science as we are told and instructed in the Baha'i writings, since we value science. And I think the Baha'i world would be better for it. But unfortunately, this letter is very black and white, and I think that it tied everything up in such a neat bow that even if there were science that says emphatically people are born gay, which in many studies are going that direction, that people do not choose to be gay, I feel that by this letter that they would still deny that and would hold firm in that the law is what the law is, or the interpretation is what the interpretation is. And that is that's very hard for me as a Baha'i.
Well, I can relate in many ways because of other people that I've met and my own experiences. I'm going to take a break, Sean, and when we come back, I want you to talk about how LGBT members of the Baha'i faith are coalescing around the world. And I also want to talk about your particular impressions on how the faith leaders are going to respond to this particular story getting more and more publicity, and for the myth that Baha'is are tolerant to be sort of blown out of the water. So I'm going to be back with Sean Rachel after this, folks.
Who is a hero? A movie star?
A TV show host?
A fabulous fashion designer?
Or a spicy chef?
We are all heroes when we help others.
Join Dining Out for Life and be a hero in the fight against HIV.
Take action. Dine out. Fight AIDS.
Participating restaurants donate a generous percentage to help people in your city. Make a reservation now at diningoutforlife.com.
Dining Out for Life happens throughout the United States and North America. In the Coachella Valley in 2015, on April 30th, there are over 50% participating restaurants. For more information, check out diningoutforlife.com.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revival. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revival. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California. And I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before. And I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio, it's Gadio.
We are live on April 17th, 2015. It's 11:29 a.m. This podcast remains available in perpetuity. You can listen at any time and always share it via social networks. I want to give a shout-out to the Huffington Post, and especially Noah Michelson, who's the editor of Gay Voices, because he's really supported my journalism a lot. And actually, I launched a new format of this show last week, daily, Monday through Friday, and six of my episodes in the first 2 weeks have been picked up by the Huffington Post. So how cool is that? I hope this one gets picked up as well. I don't actually control whether or not an episode makes it to the Huffington Post, but I, of course, hope they all do. I'm speaking with Sean Rachel, who's a very courageous activist in the Baha'i faith. And welcome back to the show, Sean. So before the break, I was asking you to tell us how members of the LGBT Baha'i faith and LGBT members of the Baha'i faith and their allies are coalescing and working to help create change.
All right. It started to come to a head in the early 90s where LGBT Baha'is and allies on their own met up. And one such occurrence happened in Reno, Nevada, where they came together, put their heads together, and had a couple days where they were like, how can we create change and acceptance and inclusiveness in the Baha'i community? How can we help as LGBT Baha'is and allies our community and foster such a more welcoming environment? So they came up with a draft letter that they sent to the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the United States, our national administrative body, and, you know, with talking points, wonderful talking points, and very respectful, not demeaning, not challenging. It came from a good spot, a good, warm, loving spot, as do I, by the way. I respect the Baha'i administration, even though I feel that I'm at odds with it often at times. And they were told to disband by the Universal House of Justice, the international governing body of the Baha'i world based in Haifa, Israel. So it was like almost all for naught, very much a slap in the face. You know, there is no official Baha'i outlet for LGBT Baha'is. One was created, I believe, in the late 80s or early 90s. It is directed by the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Canada, and it operates with the inside the U.S. In the United States with the cooperation of the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the United States. It is called BNASA. It's an acronym for Baha'i Network on AIDS, Sexuality, Addictions, and Abuse. Wow, what a interesting name. It lumps together all various, very important topics. Nowhere to be found is homosexuality in that title. And also, these meetings occur also in Hawaii and in Australia and probably other countries as well. They might go by other names. I think that the name alone I find quite disturbing. As a young Baha'i, I found the name quite disturbing that you would lump all these together. But it is not unheard of for Baha'i administration to lump sexuality or homosexuality along the lines of a vice like gambling or alcoholism, and then they threw in the word AIDS in there as well, because I guess it was just something that at the time needed to be discussed in a very private, closed manner. It's a very controlled group. It's a private group. You know, everything that's shared there, it stays there, and it's a highly controlled environment, and it's monitored by officials. So, to me, as much as it is an open group for those in there to share their experience on those different topics. When you have Baha'i officials present making notes during those meetings, to me it's not a true support group because of the nature of having someone monitoring every word that is being discussed, making sure it's not going you know, in a challenging direction of the Baha'i institutions. That other than that, there are groups that LGBT Baha'is have founded online, different websites through the years that have not lasted very long. The longest lasting Baha'i website, which was founded by Barb Ruth Wright out of Oregon, is the Gay Lesbian Baha'i Story Project. And she, as of this year, gave me the helms to take over the website, which was indeed quite an honor. We also have a Facebook group that we also have on Facebook that is a private group because of the nature of this topic. We want a truly safe place, not for just any Baha'i or person to join and to report back to Baha'i institutions our candid conversations, our heartfelt conversations, and sometimes our necessary tirades and rants. You know, sometimes we need to get things off our chest, and sometimes some things aren't very elevated that are said because it's frustrating to be in this situation. And a few years ago, I personally founded the first LGBT Baha'i Twitter account. And now I have 1,500 followers in, I think, 2 years. The people who follow me run the gambit from politicians to celebrities to different human rights organizations and government bodies, people of the UN. It's amazing who follows me and retweets my things I put out there. We have, as LGBT Baha'is, have met up in our homes over a few years. Again, recently, I held one in my home a few years ago and had about 12 people in my home, and it was a very wonderful experience to be around other LGBT Baha'is and allies. Because there is no outlet, we have to take it upon ourselves to create this outlet. We are each other's support system. We are each other's therapists. There's really no therapist out there that would understand what I call Baha'isms, our lingo, our terminology, understanding Baha'i theology or Baha'i law. And so we're in a really weird position as LGBT Baha'is because of not having an outlet. So we have found there are many people who are LGBT Baha'is out there on the Facebook group. And it's been a wonderful, loving family. It's my second family.
Speaking of loving family and second family, is your mom named Joanne?
She is.
Okay, so on the Facebook, you posted news of this interview on your Facebook feed,
mm-hmm.
and your mom responded, she commented, and she says, "Change cannot come about if mostly everyone cowers. Wishing you the best experience in speaking not just your truth, but the truth on this subject. Your experience is a reflection of similar experiences for many Baha'is in this situation, trying to thrive within the faith and being shut up and shut down. How it grieves us so, but also comes a renewed spirit. We all have only one life on this plane. It has to be for naught." I think she meant it can't be for naught in that
mm-hmm.
last part. But nevertheless, it must be great to have that kind of love and support from your mom.
Oh, yes, and also from my dad. My dad does not, he's not on Facebook, but they're one and the same on this. They've been together since 1970 and became Baha'is, I believe, in 1971, as well as my sister, Erica Rachel. We're a very close-knit family. And it is wonderful, and I'm truly blessed to have such a supportive family. many LGBT people out there do not have what I have, and there's not a day that goes by where I don't realize how lucky I am. As well as having a loving husband, it's a wonderful thing to have such a support system.
I heard you getting choked up, and I was getting choked up when I read the comments from your mom too, because I lost my mom about 5 years ago suddenly, and it just brings up lots of emotion and she was loving and supportive of me, and it's so great that when we do have the love and support of people. Another one of your friends, Eric, he says, "Speak truth and goodness, be fearless, and put your trust in the God who is love."
Mm-hmm.
And you responded, and this is the basis of my next question: "No more fear, Eric. A huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I will be fair and just in my commentary. I will show respect for the Baha'i institutions, but respect goes two ways. And in a recent letter from the Universal House of Justice, I see nothing but rigidity and a complete lack of understanding on the reality of LGBT people." So my question is, what weight has been lifted, and when was it lifted?
Well, after I received this letter that was circulated, I have come to the conclusion that I will not debase myself and be an official member of the Baha'i Faith any longer. I have yet to write letters to the Universal House of Justice, as well as the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the United States, and telling them that I will be formally leaving the Baha'i Faith. Now, that does not mean that I do not believe or love Baha'u'llah. It means that I can no longer be a part of a religion that says in this letter that I am an active participating in the destruction or deterioration of society, by acting out on what they probably perceive as my lower nature, for just loving who I love. Enough is enough. I just can't do it any longer. However, that being said, I will still be an advocate for LGBT inclusiveness in the Baha'i Faith, and I will always be a Baha'i in my heart, but on paper, I will no longer be a Baha'i nor be counted as an official Baha'i. The weight is a wonderful feeling to be lifted from my shoulders, because I feel I can say what I want to say without feeling like I'm going to be admonished or sanctioned by the Baha'i institutions, which is their right. That is, they're very protective of the Baha'i Faith and how it's perceived. And so many of us have done this for various reasons. Barb Ruth Wright, who founded the Gay, Lesbian, Bi Story Project, she's heterosexual, but she left the faith, and I'm following her lead. She still believes in Baha'u'llah, but can no longer officially be a member of the Baha'i Faith. Right now, currently, as much as I respect the Baha'i institutions, I just don't agree with their interpretation of the Baha'i law, and the words that they use are very, very hurtful. There is no lack, there's no compassion, I feel, and I'm just speaking for myself, and this is my interpretation. I just don't feel there is compassion or trying to understand the reality of homosexuality. I don't consider it a vice. I don't consider it a Western invention. Homosexuality has been with us since the beginning of time, and many cultures and groups around the world have had treated same-sex love in a very different way than Abrahamic religions have treated it. Many groups around the world, same-sex love, or those who were same-sex attracted, had elevated positions in their tribe and their groups and their culture. And this goes all across the world, from Micronesia to Africa to the indigenous peoples of Native America, of North America. So to me, to say it's a Western invention, I think, is a huge insult and a gross misunderstanding on human history. And the Baha'i Faith, as you know, is so world-embracing and embraces all cultures. I don't know of any other religion that is as diverse. I grew up literally in a United Nations of religion. I mean, I was one of many different cultures, and that is the beauty of the Baha'i Faith and our strongest, that is our strongest feature. And to ignore history and to also keep on beating the drum that society is deteriorating and falling apart, I don't know when society personally hasn't been deteriorating and falling apart. I could cite many examples throughout history, the Inquisition, the Holocaust. There's been horrible acts around, you know, the world over, where one would say the society is falling apart. But this is a heavy weight to put on a gay person's shoulder. And now this weight is lifted off of me, that I just can't be a part of it anymore. It's just too much of a cross to bear for me to be used, you know, to be a part of a deterioration of society. That's just too much. That's where I said, you know what, I can't. You draw the line in the sand. This is how you think of us. And but I still have hope that one day that there will be a change.
Keep hope alive. That's all very well stated. I want to take one more break, and then I'm going to come back, Sean, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to add anything to this interview that you think that we have not covered yet, that's really important, that you think that would make this an interview complete. So I'll be back with the very brave and spiritual and quite intelligent Sean Rachel after this.
Did you know I'm an author? At the time of this recording, I have two books out. The first, A Living Powerfully with HIV Memoir, called Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. It takes place throughout Asia and even in Palm Springs. It could be called Eat, Pray, Disclose. The second book, A Return to Brokeback Mountain, Photos and Interviews from the Historic Hollywood Premiere. To find these titles, go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Books in the main submenu. Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride Festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
In Greater Palm Springs, since 1979, the Desert Business Association has promoted and supported LGBT and allied businesses and professionals who join together for business promotion, economic development, educational, and humanitarian purposes. Their vision is to connect, promote, and build prosperity by embracing all members of the community to make a positive difference. They have many events every month. Find them at desertbusinessassociation.com.
This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's
Gadio.
My guest today is Sean Rachel. He is a very passionate spiritual warrior. If you want to go to the particular website for the Gay Lesbian Baha'i Story Project, the address is gaybahai.net. That's GAYBAHAI.net. Ordinarily, Baha'i is spelled with an apostrophe between the A and the I. And I just want you to know that. And also on Twitter, Gay Baha'is United. Gay Baha'is United. So, Sean, I promised that we would spend the rest of this interview to give you the opportunity to add anything that you might want to say and to bring it to whatever conclusion is important to you.
Sure. Well, it's a very emotional interview. I appreciate this opportunity that you've given me, and what I would like to end it with is that Baha'u'llah's world-embracing vision for humanity does not have any exception. There should never be exceptions that you're allowed in the Baha'i faith, but, you know, or that you're not, or you're going to be treated less than, or you're going to be shunned if you're openly gay, or if you choose to be in a same-sex marriage or a relationship. There's a Baha'i saying that we're all flowers of one garden. And that would include your LGBT Baha'i brothers and sisters. You cannot weed out certain people from that garden. It's truly against the Baha'i spirit, the Baha'i teachings. I'm not saying that Baha'i administration is doing that. I don't believe they're doing that. But letters like this that we have mentioned definitely makes you feel like you are less than, you're not living to your true potential, which would probably in their eyes be to be chaste, to also probably enter a heteronormative relationship to cure yourself of your homosexuality, which is quite disturbing and not very progressive. You know, we believe in the unity and diversity. That is our catchphrase, unity and diversity. Well, you know, human sexuality is not black and white. It is a full spectrum. It always has been and will always will be. I believe that the Baha'i faith would flourish even more so, and I think it would grow even more so. It can be considered quite an obscure world religion if we can overcome this issue. I can only imagine a future where LGBT Baha'is were fully included in Baha'i community life, not treated differently than their heterosexual peers, nor singled out, nor fearful for speaking their truth in Baha'i discussions or Baha'i meetings. It would be a very beautiful, it's a very beautiful vision. It's a very, it's a vision I believe that Baha'u'llah truly had for mankind. We believe another prophet will not come to this earth, another avatar, another messenger of God for another 1,000 years since Baha'u'llah left this earthly plane. I cannot fathom a world for another. We've been around, the Baha'i faith has been around for 170 some years now. I can't believe that in 800 to 900 years we have to wait for this law to change, this understanding to change, that science will not progress in that time period. We see how quickly science changes from in just 10 years. Unfortunately, many in the Baha'i administration believe that the science is perverted by the trend that is modern-day homosexuality. And I don't believe that to be the case. I believe science, it does not or is not influenced by trends. It's actually, you know, it's based on science and research. And research shows now that people are born this way. There's many different theories out there. And therefore, I think we need to embrace the current science of today. Science is always going to change. It's not in a fixed place. And so, again, I feel like we are going against the Baha'i teachings of equality of science and religion by ignoring the science of today. And I don't believe that gay rights happened out of the blue. I believe it's actually divinely inspired, just like women's equality and racial equality. This didn't happen just because. I believe it's completely divinely inspired. So to me, it's a spiritual evolution of mankind that LGBT people around the world are speaking their truth, are saying, I want to be treated as an equal, that my love is no different than my heterosexual peer. I don't believe it's a Western influence. It might have started in the West, but so did racial equality. So did gender equality. Those were all rooted in the West. And I think the West has a special role, and the Baha'i Faith believes the West, being the United States, has a special role for the future of mankind. We are truly a diverse melting pot of all world of the, all humanity. We are a living, breathing democracy, some would say, that can inspire the rest of humanity and has in many ways. So in some ways, I do see what they're saying as being a Western invention, but I don't see it any different than women's equality and racial equality, which the Baha'is have historically been at the forefront beginning of our religion. I don't know of any other religion that has had such an, you know, impact on equality of everybody than the Baha'i Faith. And I also believe that homosexuality or LGBT human rights is a part of that all-encompassing unity on this planet for our next evolutionary step. The sex impulse is valued in the Baha'i Faith only within a marriage, but Baha'u'llah also made statements in his writings that it's not just for procreation, it's also a necessary component of a marriage. And so therefore, we're one of those religions where sex isn't frowned upon necessarily or made to be dirty, it's just in the confinement of a marriage. So that gives me hope in the future there will be hopefully same-sex Baha'i marriages. And I don't believe it's impossible. I believe there are windows in the Baha'i writings that could make it possible, but maybe they don't believe it. The world is ready for that. I can't speak for the Baha'i institutions, nor will I ever. I'm just speaking as an individual Baha'i. But I just think the Baha'i Faith would be so much better off. There was an article in a gay magazine about maybe 10 to 15 years ago. I don't believe the publication is still around anymore. I believe it was called Genre. It was a World of Religion magazine article, and the front cover had a gentleman painted up like Krishna. It was a very beautiful photograph, and it had a lengthy two-page spread on the Baha'i Faith, saying if there is ever a world religion that would be attractive to the LGBT community, it is the Baha'i Faith because of its stance on women's equality, on racial equality, on the equality of science and religion, on the elimination of prejudices of all kinds. I mean, this is the mantra of the gay movement. To marry the gay community with the Baha'i Faith, I think, would just be phenomenal. I think the Baha'i Faith, which currently has around 7 million members worldwide in every country, island, tribe around the world, is the second most widespread religion after Christianity. For being such a small religion, we're everywhere. You know, you can find a Baha'i community in every island in Micronesia and every tribe on earth. It's amazing how many Baha'is are amongst humanity, that to not have to embrace LGBT members is really disheartening. And I think our numbers would grow. I think we would have more of an impact. And I do think we'd be taken more seriously by many different groups out there who when they would find out about this issue, about Baha'is not accepting gay people, or this is what they say about homosexuality, they're befuddled. They can't believe it. They assume the Baha'i Faith, out of all religions, would be the religion that would be the solace for humanity, that would be the huge tent that gay people would be feel welcomed in. So it's really hard as a Baha'i any Baha'i who is LGBT affirming, when they teach the Baha'i Faith, it's one of the first topics in the West, at least, and I'm speaking for the U.S., Australia, Canada, other parts of the world as well. People ask about, what is the Baha'i stance on homosexuality? Do you have the equivalent of a same-sex marriage? And when they find out after reading these beautiful tenets, of the Baha'i Faith, they leave in shock. Their hearts are broken. It makes no sense to them. They're all, how can you say all these beautiful things, but then when it comes to gay people, you say they have to remain chaste, and they can't even be in a relationship. It's a struggle, and sadly, it's a huge struggle for my family. My mom and dad, raised my sister and I in this revolutionary religion that wanted to change humanity and to bring us to the next step, evolutionary step in mankind's future, and this is the gift they're given. They're, all their hard work, and they have a gay son, oddly enough, and it's a huge test for them, and it's sad to see how it has affected my family, and it's affected many Baha'i families. It's one of those things that quietly Baha'is, I would say, it's an issue that really is polarizing currently the Baha'i community right now. I would say half the Baha'i community is really struggling with this. And if there were a change from the Baha'i administration internationally on this issue, I think it would just be welcomed. It would be a huge relief. And I think those Baha'is who come from more traditional societies where homosexuality is taboo would step right in line. I don't think it would be an issue. I think that it would, everything would be good, and there would be no challenges, and we would be better off for it. And I do hold on to a hope that one day that will happen. But at present time, with this letter that just came out in 2014, I don't see that happening in my lifetime. But regardless, when I do leave the faith, I will still be an advocate for LGBT Baha'is and the inclusiveness of them in the Baha'i faith.
Well, the good news, actually, this isn't good news, but there are still people that believe the Earth is flat. There are still people that insist there is no global warming, and there are still people think that the Fox News Channel actually reports news. And if you look just a few years ago, you would we as LGBT people were still on the wrong side of history. But what has happened is we are now on the right side of history. The tides have turned. The tidal wave of justice is headed toward the shores, and it's the ignorance that will be wiped out by the tsunami. Not life, but ignorance is being wiped out by a tsunami of justice. That is what's happening. It cannot be stopped, and I don't agree that you that it's impossible that you will see dramatic changes in your own faith in this lifetime, because just a decade ago, I don't think that we would have believed that marriage equality would be where it is in the United States, for example. So that's sort of my...
Thanks for giving me hope. Yeah, I mean, I would embrace it any time. I would be the staunchest supporter. I would be the advocate of the Baha'i faith. I've always been a Baha'i first. I'm a human. I'm a Baha'i. I happen to be a gay person and have same-sex attraction, but my identity is not solely based on my same-sex attraction, and that's been a huge misunderstanding with some Baha'is I know. They believe that I am a person who claims to be a gay Baha'i. No, I am a Baha'i who happens to be same-sex attracted, and my identity has always been a Baha'i. It's a part of my culture. It's more than just a religion. It's a culture. It's more than just a religion, a belief. And, my last thing I would like to say to Baha'is who are listening, to my heterosexual Baha'i brothers and sisters, silence is not the answer. To remain silent on something that doesn't feel right in your soul is going to perpetuate this mindset in the Baha'i community. We need to speak out. We need to change our Baha'i communities locally to be locally embracing of LGBT Baha'is, to love them unconditionally, not to treat them differently, not to single them out, not to administer laws against them unfairly, not to spy on them, not to report their every move. That, to me, is not a sign of a very progressive religion. That, to me, is a very scary vision of religion, and that's why I am moving away from religion, because to me that's not spiritual. Spiritual is just pure love, the love that Jesus taught, the love that Buddha taught, the love that Baha'u'llah taught. It's very simple. It's so simple. Sometimes I think we bog down the most simplest of things and make it more complicated than need be. So my parting comment to Baha'is out there is that
That's okay. It's an emotional time.
Sure.
Take a moment.
Sure it is. Yeah.
Take a breath.
Silence is not the answer. Be a voice for change. It's uncomfortable. It may put you at risk. You may lose your position or standing in the Baha'i community, but ultimately, Nicholas, it's the right thing to do. It's what our Baha'i history has taught us. We are revolutionary. We emancipated women in 19th century Iran. You know, the greatest heroine, the greatest female poet of Iran was a Baha'i. Her name was Tahrir. She cast off her veil, you know, and lost her life for standing up for the emancipation of women. That is what the Baha'i faith is. that's our history. We encouraged interracial marriage in the early 1900s, where it was illegal, where you can go to jail. This is our heritage, and I believe it's our heritage to also embrace, to be at the forefront of the human rights of gay people around the world. We can't be silent about it. I mean, the fact that we are so silent about it is quite disturbing, and it doesn't go with our history. It just doesn't mesh. It doesn't feel right. When something doesn't feel right, question it. The Baha'i faith of writing talk about questioning things. The independent investigation of truth is our highest teaching. You know, so Baha'is, please, just question these things. If it doesn't feel right, speak out against them. Listen to your heart. Listen to your soul. And, and change will occur. Small changes will occur locally, and from then it will grow. Keep on writing letters to the National Spiritual Assembly in the country you reside in, or your local spiritual assembly at home, or to the international, the Universal House of Justice. Keep on sending letters. Keep on letting them know that you don't understand the stance, and that you believe that they can somehow make it a more inclusive religion for LGBT Baha'is. You know, I believe that Baha'is believe that, you know, everyone's given tests, and no test is too strong for an individual. And I don't want to sound high and mighty, but I believe that the Baha'i administration, this is their test to them by God. It's a test to test them on the true unity and diversity of all mankind. And they're not above it. As much as I love and respect the Universal House of Justice, they're not above a test. They're humans. And this, I believe, is one of their biggest tests. And I have told Baha'is, and it sounds sort of cheeky, but, you know, they always end their letters to Baha'is, gay Baha'is, and also that they will pray for you in the shrines in Haifa, Israel. And you know what? I appreciate your prayers. We appreciate those prayers. And we will be praying for you as well. It goes two ways. We will pray for you to have a better understanding of this topic, to understand the science involved in human sexuality, and to know that homosexuality is not a Western invention. It's been with us since the beginning of time. So that is my last thing, is I would like to say, actually, is that we will be praying for your guidance.
Well, that's a beautiful, generous way to end up the conversation. Yeah. I want to thank you for pouring your heart out, literally.
Yes, thank you.
And this, within 5 minutes of the, wait about 5 minutes till this broadcast ends before you start tweeting it, because it has to buffer before it becomes available in its on-demand form. But sure. I really want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. And if this gets picked up by the Huffington Post, I'll definitely let you know right away.
Please do. And I appreciate this. This really means a lot. I think it's the first step in a long, long journey. But it was wonderful. Thank you so much, Nicholas.
My pleasure, Sean. Thank you. You know, if I were to summarize the show from my own point of view, is that justice will prevail, and that knowledge crowds out ignorance, and that we are all in this life together, working for the common good. We're more alike than different. And the fear we have of each other has been taught by man because of their own personal selfish agendas. That could be a whole show into its own. At any rate, remember to go to gaybahai.net, gaybahai.net. Follow Gay Baha'is United on Twitter. And I want to thank you so much for listening. Much appreciated.
You've been listening to Nicholas Snow Live. Find all of our advertisers and everything Nicholas Snow at NicholasSnowLive.com. Nicholas uses both Twitter and Facebook to alert listeners just as he's going on the air. Anytime, 24/7, you may direct tweet at TheNicholasSnow or post your questions, comments, breaking news, and gossip on the Nicholas Snow Live Facebook page. Nicholas may very well discuss your tweet or comment on the air when communicating with or about the show using any form of social media. Be sure to use the hashtag NicholasSnowLive. You may also Skype into live broadcast from anywhere in the world. For Skype instructions and to review all the Connect with Show options I've just mentioned, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click Connect with the Show in the main submenu. Nicholas also broadcasts regular video chats and interviews on his YouTube channel using Google Hangouts. So subscribe at YouTube.com/SnowBizNow. That's YouTube.com/SnowBizNow. For all of his social media links, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Social Networks in the main submenu. This show is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.